Oh, it's a it's a recording one.
Yes.
Is it on?
Yes.
I'm not out of my comfort zone now. Oh, and this. Oh my word. Hello again. Okay, it's really lovely to see you all. I'm impressed that you've come back after the last couple of weeks, actually. It's been pretty hard hitting, hasn't it? I really felt God had given me some stuff to bring with you over the last couple of weeks. It's not because God wants to beat us up, it's because he wants to set us free. He wants to heal us and he wants to restore us. But I am aware that it's been tricky. It's been tricky for me, so I'm sure it's been tricky for you. But God has spoken very clearly that we're in a time of preparation, and we all know that. He says he's calling us. He wants us to prepare the house for his glory, and we want to be a people that host the presence of God. We want to be a people who are at the forefront of what God's doing. We want to be a people who are pioneers. We want to break through. We want to see heaven come on earth. We don't want to be mediocre. We don't just want to attend meetings. We want to be people that God uses. And I just thought it's so beautiful. I'm sure Jean won't mind me saying.
No.
But you're nearly 80, is that correct?
I was 80 3 weeks ago.
She is 80 years old, and she is now saying, I'm coming into my destiny. You know, that ought to give us all a kick at the bum. My favourite phrase of the moment is what? Wake up, child, it's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. And we need to be hearing that. We need to get that on the inside of us. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter how long we've known Jesus, how long we've been Christians. Now is the time for us to wake up and grab hold of those things that we've yet to come into in our relationship with God. But he's calling us to deeper levels of holiness. A bit tricky. It's time to pray. Oh, this, at the beginning of the year, God gave us a prophetic word, which I keep reading because this is the stuff that God is doing amongst us now. Since the beginning of the year, it says, it's time to pray that the lid comes off and to call forth my angels who are waiting to start gathering and removing stumbling blocks, both within and without. That's the process that we're in. Call forth the gathering angels. The lids are coming off the sewers. That doesn't mean out there. That means in here. Anybody identify with that one?
Yeah.
The secret and hidden things of the heart are about to be exposed. All I ask is for the willingness to submit to the fire that will refine, purify and prepare you for true holiness. So God's not expecting us to do this on our own. In fact, if we try to do it on our own, that's wrong. He wants us to submit and surrender and let him come. It's his fire, it's his refining, it's him in us that is going to enable us to move forward. So over the last couple of weeks we've been dealing with deception, which is a bit tricky. It's the hidden and secret things, those things that we don't want anyone to know about. They've been being exposed. Where we have deceived and where we have been deceived. Last week we looked at some stumbling blocks. Put my teeth back in. Stumbling blocks. Those things in our lives which are hindrances and obstacles to us moving forward without God. They keep us from knowing the truth. The lies, the deceptions, the things that we've believed. We looked at familiar spirits. Those voices, those conversations that go on in our head that drive us crazy sometimes, that we think are just us. Hopefully we're starting to see actually it's not just us, it's the tactics of the enemy to keep us from God's best. So those things like condemnation, rejection, you're no good, you know, rah 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 rah, we're starting to see actually God wants freedom for us. Freedom to know our identity and our authority in him. And all this rah rah rah, it's time we step on it and we come into who God called us to be. For many of us, we've been robbed of God's best by circumstances and situations of life. Things affect us and shape us and they keep us in prison. We form our belief systems, our value systems on the things of the past. That's how we learned from very early on and that's who we've become. And God is saying, no, that's not who you're supposed to be. God wants to show us his revelation of our identity. Our prisons, those things that lock us up, often, even though we hate them, they can be our safe places. And when things get tough, even though we don't like it, we often revert, we often get withdraw, we go back into our old patterns when things get tough. even though we don't like it. We settle for what's familiar. And again, it's time to say no, no more. Time to get real and radical with ourselves. It's always a bit tricky, that one, isn't it? If we want to come into who God's called us to be. God has called us to be unrestricted warriors. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, you may well have very different images in your mind when you think about an unrestricted warrior. But for me, I always imagine like Zulu warriors, and they're all muscly, and they don't have, they have little skirts and things, just not much on, but they've got their spears and their arrows and their painted face, and they're ready, aren't they? They're in the jungle and they are ready, and they're ready, and there's not much restriction that goes with them. Now, you might see unrestricted warriors in a very different way. That's fine, that's up to you. But that's what I see. I don't want anything that's going to tie me down and hold me back or weigh me down. And God is wanting us to deal with those restrictions in our lives so we can be little Zulu warriors. Sounds good, but it's a little bit tricky, isn't it? Now, if you're anything like me, which I'm sure you're not, when God starts to put his finger on something in my life, I don't like it very much. And I don't always react very well. I tend to get a bit grumpy, a bit agitated, a bit fractious, a bit you don't want to get too close to me. And for me, that's a sign when I know usually that God's putting his finger on something. And I think for a lot of us, that's where we are right now, if we're truthful. And we've got a choice. We either cooperate with that, we put our foot down and stamp our feet and have a bit of a paddy, which I do too at times. Now, I find it very easy, it's a gift I've got, to see someone else's issues. I don't find it quite so easy to look at my own. And if someone challenges me, or God challenges me, then very, very occasionally, I feel backed into a corner and I get a little bit defensive. And I try and deflect it, put it on someone else. Might deny it a little bit, project it onto someone else. Bottom line is, nobody likes it when you're challenged, because we take it very personally. But that is what God's doing right now. But listen to this. In Genesis 3, I'm not going to read it, I'm going to paraphrase it. Adam and Eve were told not to eat of a certain tree. Of course they did. God comes down in the cool of the day like he normally did. And he's looking for Adam, and he's saying, where are you? And Adam says, I hid because I was naked and ashamed and afraid. And God said, well, how did you know that you were naked? What have you done? What did Adam say? That woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit of that tree, and I ate it. What was the first thing that he did? What did he do? Blame someone else. And God said to Eve, what have you done? And she said, the spirit deceived me. Now, none of us are very much different from that. That was our early roots, isn't it? We all like to deceive, like to project, like to put it onto someone else. The bottom line is, now is the time when we need to get real. I read a verse out the last couple of weeks about bringing things into the light. We are children of light. The light is in us. We have to be transparent and open for God's glory to come and shine through us to transform the community like we want to see it. What I want to see is more of the testimonies like Tanya. That's fantastic. Like Carolyn, transforming. You know, it's not me teaching Forgive and Release that transforms. It's Jesus. What Jesus has done that enables me to have the privilege to tell you how your life can be transformed. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's what we all want. Now's the time we need to get serious with ourselves to prepare us for that. So, lifting the lid on the sirahs in my life is part of God's process right now. And if it's part of it for me, it's going to be part of it for you too. So you better get ready. You better get on board with it. God says, I'm looking for those who are willing to be pruned in the unproductive areas of their lives, in their desires and their priorities. I'm going to prune you anyway. We need to cooperate with it. We need to join in. As we said last week, God's calling the angels to gather, to gather in the stumbling blocks. It's not all about us. We just need to cooperate and let God do what he wants to do. Behold, for those who embrace this, this is what we need to hear. Behold, for those who embrace this, it will be a year of change like no other. Good news? For those who resist it, their false coverings will be removed and they will be exposed. Not so good news. I have spoken to the fig tree and it is withered. There will be nothing left to hide behind. Fall on the rock and a great fragrance will be released from the brokenness of your souls. That's what God wants for us. He doesn't want to leave us broken. Nobody wants to be broken, but probably 99.9% of us are broken anyway. He wants us to allow Him to heal our brokenness, and then the fragrance that comes up from our lives will be beautiful, will honour Him, and will bring transformation all around us. So God wants to deal with our hearts. So we've had deception, we've had stumbling blocks, we've had familiar spirits. He wants to deal with those our hearts. We have to expect things long buried inside to be revealed and exposed, because a deep purity and cleansing is coming. We can trundle along peacefully at times, getting along, just enjoying life, you know, making the best of it, going along. Suddenly something happens and you think, where did that come from? What on earth went on? Irrational behaviour, attitudes, we can explode, we feel angry, we have this massive, huge reaction. It seems to come from nowhere. We can react really verbally, we can just have bitterness in it, go, you think, what on earth is going on? That's what God wants to deal with. We need to expect that right now. Those things that are hidden deep on the inside. So don't be, oh no, I'm such a worm. Say, wow, I'm actually in the right place right now because God is moving in me and I'm going to let Him do what He needs to do in my life. Matthew 12:34 says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's time that we start paying attention to what's coming out of our mouths, because that's an indication of what's down on the inside of us. Sometimes we can control it, we can trundle along, but when something happens, when we feel backed in a corner, when we feel threatened, when we feel got at, when God puts His finger on something, what comes out is a residue of what's on the inside. Anybody know that? Sometimes you can be trundling along and all of a sudden you're like, where did that come from? It comes from in here. And that's where God's dealing with us right now. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Down in here, in our emotions, deep on the inside. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. God is wanting to deal with our hearts. What's inside will come out. So it's time to examine what's coming out of our mouth. If you have undealt with hurts, pains or wounds, if you have unforgiveness, if you have bitterness, if you have fear, if you have disappointment, if you have rebellion, if you have resentment, guess what? It will come out in the way that you speak. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The message says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. So more or less, we can choose how we speak until we're in that place and we're out of control, because what's in there will just come out. So we really need to examine that. Words are powerful. They either contain blessings or curses. So if stress or pressure causes garbage to stream out of your mouth, guess what it means? There's garbage on the inside somewhere. It could be out of character completely. But if it's anger, swearing, bitterness, hatred, rage, spite, self-hatred, whatever you might want to say, it's going to only come out if it's on the inside. So it's time to check ourselves. Do we have undealt with hurts? Do we have anger, bitterness, resentment? Are we in unforgiveness? The Bible says if we are, then we're in the torture chamber. And Tanya's testimony was a beautiful one today. She was in the torture chamber because she had unforgiveness against herself. She's dealt with it and she's been completely different. It's not a magic wand. It cost her. I know, I was there. It cost her. But actually the principle of God is when you forgive, He forgives, He releases you and heals you and restores you. And that's the message that I just really feel God is wanting to say today. So in order to move forward, God wants to deal with those deep things. Some things we might not even recognise. The but if they're on the inside, they will come out. Hebrews 12:14 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Now, disappointment is a massive, massive emotion. Proverbs 3:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." If you feel let down, you feel wounded, people have let you down, you can feel God let you down, you can feel churches let you down, people, you've let yourself down, you've let others down. If that disappointment has a root on the inside of you, it's time to acknowledge it and to deal with it, because it will keep you back from the plans and purposes of God. It will stop you pressing in, because if you don't deal with disappointment, you get disillusioned. You can get despondent, even despair. Depression can come, be fearful of stepping out again. You can become cynical. You can become angry. You can get full of unbelief. And what does the enemy want more than anything else? He wants you to withdraw. Can't do that anymore. Didn't work. Felt left down. He wants you to withdraw and to isolate. And depression can set in. The enemy doesn't mind what tool he uses. He just wants to knock us out. And we just need to beware of his schemes. The most sad thing, I think, over the years, seeing people who have been so on fire for God, so excited, really up there in the forefront of what God is doing, and then something happens and they don't deal with it and disappointment sets in. And the most tragic thing is you see someone who is absolutely wow out there, radical as radical can be, and then they're nowhere because they can't put themselves in that place anymore because they are so hurt. And we need to be aware of that, because God is about to do some amazing stuff, and I don't want anyone to miss out on that. We can make vows. If you're disappointed, you can make a vow. Well, I'll never get hurt like that again. I'll never let no one get close to me like that again. I'm going to keep everyone out there. What we've just said is words have power. Words are powerful. And if you make a vow over yourself for whatever reason, it has power. And when you say, "I'll never," those sort of words, they bind us up, they imprison us. And today I just really pray that God shows you, if you've ever made a vow over yourself like that, which will hold you back in any situation, because it will shut you down. Because you keep God at a distance, you'll keep people at a distance, and you become judgmental. If you've stepped out before and you've got hurt, now's the time to break the power of the words that you've spoken over yourself. They are like containers, as we said. Other people's words can really affect you. Other people's words have a powerful effect on us. They are really like curses. You're useless. You're a failure. You're no good. Once we take those words on board and we believe them, they become part of who we are, and they act like a curse. When we agree, we give them power and access into our lives. So we need to forgive. If you're identifying that people have spoken words over you that have robbed you, that have put you in prison or cursed you, then keep it there, because you need to forgive the person that said it, and we need to pray and break the power of those words off you in Jesus' name, because there is power in the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. He's already done everything for us to come into our complete destiny in him. It's all the stuff that gets in the way that we're trying to deal with now, so that we become those unrestricted warriors. So we can agree with the things that people say, and they can become cursed, and we can make oaths on the inside as well that really lock us up. We feed ourselves on the word that we speak. You hear words, they go back down. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. When we speak things out, we hear it twice. We speak it out and we hear it again. We think it, we speak it, we hear it, and it confirms things to us. You can speak life, you can speak faith, and faith will grow. You can speak negativity, you can speak doubt, and what happens? Faith dies. We need to watch what comes out of our mouths. If I say, "I'll never be any good, I won't change, just the way I am, I'm useless, I'm a failure, I always have been and I always will do," what am I likely to be? A failure. I'm likely to stay that way, aren't I? Because the words I speak are containers of death. If I start saying, "I'm a new creation in God, God's forgiven me, God loves me, I'm free from condemnation, God has chosen me and he's got a plan and purpose for my life," is that a magic wand? No. But what I am speaking is faith. I am speaking words of life, and I am more likely to change when I agree with what God says about me than when I agree with what my situation has always been. Speaking God's truth will stir faith for change. God's truth can change the facts. We have deep needs. We've looked at this a couple of times, and we've said we were born, we were created by God with needs. The need to feel loved. Everybody deep down needs to feel loved, accepted, valued, to have a plan, a purpose, and to feel like they belong. We're supposed to do like that. We're supposed to have those needs. Unfortunately, life doesn't always go our way so that those things are met in the natural. One word thing is, they were never meant to be, because those things can only be met and fulfilled in God. But here we are, we live in this world, and we still have those needs. God says, you're loved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved. It says the world, but actually, you put your name in there. God so loved the world. Graham. God so loved Graham. Tanya. Pete. Paul. Whoever it might be, God says over you, I so love you. Acceptance. We all need acceptance. Galatians 4:7 says, you are no longer slaves, but a son and an heir to God. He accepts you. Value. We all need value. Go back to John 3:16, and it says, God so loved Graham that he gave his only son for Graham. And we can say that over every single person here. That's how much value you have to God, that he gave Jesus so that you could know him. Purpose. We all need purpose. And Jeremiah something or other. Is it 31 says, I know what plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans and a destiny for each one of us, and belonging. We all need to belong. God says, you're my children. The Bible says that when we know Jesus, we become children of God. Now, that's the truth, okay? Outside of God, we may try and meet those needs ourselves because we don't know God. Families should give us the best start. That should show us, direct us to God's love, but unfortunately not many of us can say that worked out too well. So when those needs are not met, what happens? So we desperately need to feel loved, accepted, valued, have a purpose, and to belong. So that need for love can turn to self-hatred and low self-esteem when we don't find it met. That need for acceptance turns to rejection. Value, worthlessness. Purpose, hopelessness, failure, and belonging, you don't feel like you fit anywhere. It can leave us feeling like orphans. And there's such a thing as an orphan spirit. That no matter what happens, no matter how much good stuff gets put into you, you never feel like you fit. Do you know what? God wants to deliver us from all of those things. If there's an orphan spirit in place, and no matter how much God loves get poured into you, it just dribbles right out the other side of you. He wants to set you free from an orphan spirit so that you can know him as your dad, so that he can know you can know him as your father. These things have robbed us, and God is saying, no more, no more. Let today be the day that we get radical with this stuff. When we feel so desperate as that, it can be like layers. Anybody understand layers? You can have a root, and it builds and it builds. Now, I know you guys, you have to bear with me here, because I'm going to read this story out. I know I read it to you in the week. But emotional strongholds, those wounds on the inside, they can be from before we were even born, and they build up and they build up and they build up. So I'm going to do this. This is a true story. There was a girl, her mum got pregnant and didn't want the pregnancy and tried to abort her. So that was her original root of rejection, a seed gone in there of rejection even before she was born. Then she was a premature baby and she was put in a special care baby unit, so she had no physical contact. Then she was ill in hospital because she was premature, so she was away from home. Her father wanted a boy. She was bullied at school because she had sticky out ears. She was left-handed and called a freak, and she was made to write with her right hand. Her dad left at 7, so she felt abandoned. At 10, she had a stepdad who physically abused her, and then she was sent to a boarding school where she was sexually abused by a teacher. Then her mother died, And then she looked to men to fulfill the need for love that she desperately wanted on the inside, and got herself into a violent relationship at 18. And she turned to drugs to numb the pain. And then she had a baby, and the father baby left. And so the cycle went on and on and on. Now, some people here will relate to that and said, that could have been me. Some people will think, well, that's really extreme. It doesn't matter. One seed, one root of rejection that enters into us can shape the whole of our lives. For some people, there is one thing, and then there's a layer, and then there's a layer, and it can be like this great big onion that just builds up so big. But you know what? God can deal with every single layer, and he can pull out your root of rejection so that you can stand up here and you can say, I know that God loves me. God has chosen me for such a time as this. For some of you, you might think that's impossible. For some of you, you're like, well, I'm almost there. We're all in our process. But God has got no favourites. God's truth is the same for all of us. And we just need to be open. So the result of that would be rejection, isolation, abandonment, mistrust, fear, low self-esteem, insecurity, orphan spirit. We could go on and on and on. But the bottom line is, Jesus wants to set us all free. Often pain, when it's severe like that, can lead to addiction. And I know some of you know, we have said that it's that deep pain that you don't know what to do with, that you just try to numb, that is the first step towards addiction. For some, you can just shut down. Okay, don't know what to do with this, I'll just shut down. So you remain aloof, you keep people out there. You don't really have emotion because it's all out there. For some, you look for those unmet needs to be met in others or things. It could be that you strive for perfection. You have to be the best. You have to control everything because that's what gives you the affirmation that you crave. It won't work. For some, it can be that you look to a relationship to make you feel better. It won't work. It's not meant to. So for some people, they just drift from relationship to relationship, trying to find what makes them feel good on the inside. Now, I did talk a couple of weeks ago about sexual immorality, so I'm not going to go back over that one again. But what I want to talk about, I just want to read to you again 1 Corinthians 18, because this is how it works. There is more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two become one. Since we want to be spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. For so many people, for so many of us, we look to someone else to meet our needs. We look to relationships to make us feel better about ourselves. It won't work. It's not meant to work. There is a sense in which sexual sin is different from all others. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God, given and God-moulded love for becoming one with another. Or didn't you realise your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? Do you know what that high price was? That was Jesus. The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in you and through your body. We're not supposed to get our affirmation, our value from anything other than God. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live, we move, we have our being. He wants to be the very essence of who we are. When we look to other people, to sex, to relationships, to meet that need, I read some verses the other day and the Bible says flee. Flee, run as fast as you can in the opposite direction from this stuff because it will mess you up big time. Paraphrase. It gives access to the enemy. And we form soul ties with people that actually lock us up and keep us in prison. You can have spiritual connections with people which are not good. They'd be part of you which is not good. So many people say, oh, my first love, 75 years ago, but they've never got over it. It's because when we become one with someone, you make a connection, and what you do is you give part of yourself away. There's no such thing as a one-night stand, and we need to get our heads around that because it's not meant to be that way. And we're part of us, we give it away, it messes us up big time. You take on someone else's baggage as if you haven't got enough of your own. We've all got our own stuff to deal with. We weren't taking on someone else's, I'm sure you'll agree. Unclean spirits can affect us. It's just not God's way at all. It doesn't necessarily need to be sexual. You can have soul ties with people in relationship. If you look for something in someone which is beyond what is accepted, you can form soul ties. You can become dependent. There are things called codependency in relationships, which is not good, where you look for other people to meet your needs and you meet their needs. Sometimes people just need to be needed, and they just drift around picking up little stray orphans that they can help, but really what it's doing is it's just meeting a need on the inside of them to feel needed. God wants to strip it all back so that we need Him, that He can be our first place deep on the inside. And He's given us an opportunity. He's jealous. God is a jealous God. He's an all-consuming fire. He wants first place in our life. He doesn't want to be second fiddle to anybody. And now is the time there. He's calling us out to say where we're at. If you choose to surrender and submit to this process, you will experience growth and be able to operate in the highways of holiness, manifesting the truth of heaven on earth. Amazing? That's what we want. My goal, this is God obviously, not me, not my goal. My goal is humble and gentle hearts that I can exalt in due season. I require you to bow low to be lifted up. We're nearly there. If you have wounds, you need to be healed. If there are vows, curses, oaths that you made, you need the power of those words breaking. If you have bitterness in your heart, you need to repent of it. If you don't know what's going on with you, that's okay. Talk to someone else. Get someone to come alongside you. Ask God to reveal it. Those deep, deep things in your hearts. The way to freedom is through forgiveness. It's all about forgiveness and healing and restoration. My expectation this morning is for some people to be rattled, for some people to be quite angry, for some to be twitchy, for some to feel sick, for some to say, yeah, that's exactly where I am right now. This is God's process. It's okay. We just need to cooperate and identify it. Anointing is here. Presence of God is here. The anointing is here to break your yokes. Yokes. It's the anointing that breaks the yokes. Emotional pain undealt with affects every area of your life. You might not think it does, but it really does, because you'll see through those filters. How are you going to see God as your dad if you've got huge issues with your own dad that haven't been dealt with in the past? How are you going to know that you can trust God no matter what if you've got massive mistrust issues because you've been let down so badly? You won't be able to do it until you allow God to deal with those things deep on the inside. Ladies, I just want to encourage you, if you're doing captivating, you better prepare for God to lift the lid on some stuff. Beautiful. The end result, I mean, I know I'm not finished yet, but over the times I've done captivating, God has done some amazing things in my life. You need to be prepared and let God have His way. I'd encourage you today, if God's put His finger on something and it's simple and you think, yep, need to deal with that. And I was really blessed this morning in the worship. Two people came to me and said, I've got to do forgiveness. Will you just stand with me? You know, it's a lifestyle. We want to get to the place. This is a lifestyle that we can just move forward in. It doesn't have to be a major big deal. For some people, it might be the beginning of your journey. Well, it will be a major big deal, but God is with you all the way. So today, if you know that you have something that God's talking to you about, I'd encourage you to get some prayer before you leave. For some, it might be, I don't even know where to start. Find someone and talk to. Start writing down how you feel right now. You might not even know how you feel or what's going on. Just start writing some stuff down. There's plenty of people here who've been through this process. The amazing thing about knowing forgiveness yourself and working through this process is you know the power of it, so you're always in faith when you pray for someone else. And I've seen God do incredible things in my life, and I've prayed for people through incredible things as well. And I know I can stand here and 100% guarantee that it works, that it sets you free. God wants to restore you to who He created you to be, so that you can wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Don't be robbed anymore. I just encourage you, pray. press on, press in, and let's just start to see heaven invading earth and we'll be a part of it. Amen.